Name of the message is Level Ground. Level Ground. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Galatians chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 1 to 9 to find the context of our verse here. The verse that we'll be studying is in verse 6 of Galatians chapter 2. So let's read verses 1 to 9. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel, only one gospel, which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares bought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. In verse 6 here, this is our text for today. But of those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrarize, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectively in Peter the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me and Barnabas, they gave unto me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the brethren, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So Paul is bringing forth before the Gentile churches, the believers in the Gentile churches, the fact that he's an apostle, and the fact that he's an apostle sent by God. He's commissioned by God to be an apostle. Their Judaizers had been questioning his apostolic authority, and they'd even be questioning the message that he preached, which is salvation in and through Christ and him alone. And he goes up to Jerusalem. The elders in the Galatian churches had asked him to go up to Jerusalem to get letters from the apostles at Jerusalem saying that his gospel was the one true gospel. And so Paul, he went up there, and he says in verse 6 here, but of those who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. So he's saying that he's an equal. He's an equal to them, to those who had been with Christ, the apostles. And again, he didn't go up there to get authority from them, because his authority came from God, didn't it? His authority came from God. His authority to preach the gospel, his apostolic authority came from Christ and in him alone, just as it did for the other apostles. See, all the authority that a preacher has to preach comes from the Lord. Not from man, not from man at all, but from the Lord, in him alone. And he did not submit control of that which God had sent him to do. He didn't say, well, I'm going to change my message if they say this and that. No, he'd been sent to preach the gospel. He'd been preaching Christ and him crucified to the Gentiles. Paul wasn't going to change his message. He'd never compromise. That's why we see in verse 5, when he says, I didn't give subjection to those false teachers, not at all. Not at all. Didn't even give them a place. Didn't even give them a chance to speak. Because he knew what they were teaching was absolute lies. So he wasn't gonna stop preaching what he was preaching. He's determined to preach Christ and him crucified. He tells us that in 1 Corinthians. He's going to preach the complete sin-atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation in him through his shed precious blood, redeeming our eternal souls, and justified by his resurrection, that Christ completed the work. It's all done by him. He's not going to stop preaching Christ. He'd not done so far, had he? Even though the Judaizers were just peppering things, they were emissaries. You know they were emissaries of Satan? That's what they are. That's what them false teachers are, beloved. Folks, you don't want to offend people. That's what they are. They have a false gospel. Scripture calls them antichrist in the sense that they're against Christ. Any false teaching is antichrist. Any false teaching, anything that goes against the finished, complete work of Christ is antichrist. And these false teachers, they crept in, and he wasn't going to give them any place. No place at all. So every opportunity Paul got, he just preached Christ. He preached Christ. And that's what gospel preachers do. We get an opportunity to proclaim Christ. We're just going to proclaim Christ and his perfect finished work. That's what we're going to do. Again, these false teachers, these meddling emissaries of Satan, had striven to misrepresent Paul. And they misrepresented him. They said, well, he has no authority to preach. What do you think of Paul's preaching? Oh, what do you think of it? I don't know what to think about it, but I'm going to ask you what you think about it. Oh, my. Called into question. And they were calling into question the completeness of the finished work of Christ. Do you know that? That's what they were doing. They were saying you have to do this. Ceremonies of the Jewish law to be saved, along with faith in Christ. So they were negating the completeness, the perfect finished work of Christ. And that's what false teachers do. There's always something you have to do. And then it could just be something so small. What, a little leaven? What? Leaveneth the whole lump, doesn't it? How much poison take to kill you? Just a drop, right? Just a drop. Not a whole bottle, just a little drop. Oh, my. My, oh, my. So they'd actually called into question the very gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. So Paul goes up to Jerusalem at the request of the elders of the Galatian churches to bring back letters from the apostles. And look, they met and they agreed that Paul was preaching the gospel. And we see Paul bring forth, and he's speaking of the apostles here in verse 6. That's who he's speaking of. And he does not mean this in disrespect. He does not mean this in disrespect when he's talking about this. He's just saying they didn't add anything to what I preach. They didn't teach me anything new. I'm already preaching what God sent me to do. See, I tell people, I'm honest with them right off the bat. I say, I got a one-string fiddle. You've heard me say that many times. I preach Christ. And I'm going to try not to move away from that. Just preach Christ. I'm going to come at it from different texts. Preaching about our King, but that's who the Lord sent me to preach about him and what he's done, the great things he's done. And I can't tell you what he's done for me unless it's actually happened to me, right? Right? Your hometown, I wherever you were born in this world, right? You can tell me about your hometown and when you grew up, but I can't tell you about it because I've never been there. And even if I've been there, I've never experienced the things that you've experienced. You see? See, those who have been changed by the grace of God can tell others about the grace of God. And I'll tell you what, when they've been changed by the grace of God, when they're new creatures in Christ, all they want to do is brag about Christ. Good news. Let me tell you about my King. So he brings forth here in verse 6, But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. Another title I was thinking of for this message is God respects no man. No man's standing. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or in between. God doesn't take none of that into account for us. His mercy is bestowed upon we who are sinners. And remember, level ground, right? We're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? And all are guilty before God. That means everyone. I don't care what standing you are in life. That means every one of us. Someone may be born with a silver spoon, come into a wealthy family. They're still a sinner, just like the poorest baby that comes into the world. They're still sinners, aren't they? Desperately need saving. Desperately need saving. And Titus, he accompanied Paul to Jerusalem. He'd been Paul's companion in Galatia in the mission journeys of Asia Minor. And he was a Greek. He had no Jewish blood in him. He wasn't from the nation of Israel. He had no relatives that were like Timothy. I believe his dad was a Gentile, but his mom was a Jew, if I'm not mistaken. But Titus didn't have it. He is a full-on heathen like us, right? And they wouldn't subject the Judaizers. They said, hey, he needs to be circumcised to be saved along with faith in Christ. And Paul said, we're not having nothing of that. And even the Galatian churches, good on the elders, they should have just believed Paul, right? But we humans, we can be swayed by folks. We can be. I'm not hard on them because I know we all can be in that position. Right? Could be swayed by other men. But oh, the Judaizers urged Paul that Titus should be circumcised and become a proselyte to the Jewish ceremonies. That's what it really is. Become a slave under the law. Well, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, isn't he? And Paul resisted this demand. And he resisted it so determinedly that he said, I won't even give them a place to speak. I don't even want them talking. My. In verse 5, look at verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. See, the gospel was what was in stake. That's what was at stake. Is the completeness of the finished work of Christ. That's what was being called into question. And anything that calls into question and adds something man has to do is a false gospel. And remember, this is the Holy Spirit authoring these words, right? And as I was studying this week for this message and for the morning message, I thought, wow, there's so much instruction how the Lord instructs us through his word. And today is kind of like I want us to look at the scriptures that way too, and I want us to continue to do that. To look at this is instructional for us. See, the Holy Spirit's equipping us. If anyone comes in with these kind of doctrines, we just say no, that's not right. That's not right. And what was that question was justification in Christ alone, which again is the heart of the gospel. That was what was that question. And if Paul gave in to their demands, he would no longer be preaching grace. And we won't compromise, will we? Here, we won't. By God's grace, we won't. We're not compromised on the gospel. Now, people get all wound up in all this stuff, end time stuff, and I've even heard doctrines of grace folks go off, are you a lapsarian or a super lapsarian? I don't even care about that stuff. Come on. Talking theological things that you know what? Christ is the issue, right? That's not the issue. The issue's Christ. That's the issue. Christ and him crucified. If you want to learn that stuff, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't make it such a big issue that it usurps Christ. Right? Oh, my. So in the interest of the gospel of God's free grace in Christ, Paul opposed their demands. Said, that's not right. So let we who are the born-again people of God take the same stance. Take the same stance. You know, Paul, Henry Mahan said years ago to Norm Wells, he was talking to him about the Lord's Supper. And Norm was in a group that believed that the Lord's Supper was closed and only for the church that he belonged to, and that they were the only they were the bride of Christ. Praise God, Norm and I were both taken out of that. It's so cultic, it's not funny. And Henry kept saying to Norm, Norm would bring it up, and Henry would say, that's not the issue. Christ is the issue, Norm. He must have said it 5 times to Norm. Ask him when he comes out here. He'll tell you the story about it. It's incredible. And Henry just kept saying, that's not the issue, Norm. Christ is the issue. And so now him and I get on the phone. We'll be talking about stuff. We're like, that's not the issue, is it? We're still learning. Christ is the issue. That's what it is. That's what it is. Oh, my. So let us take the same stance when it comes to works-based salvation. Now, we're not even going to give it place. Let us always put the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ at the forefront. At the forefront for us. Again, people argue about all these things, end times, all this other stuff. They get wound up tighter than the clock. Let's just focus on Christ. Let's focus on who he is. And may we as a congregation never compromise on that. May we just always make Christ at the forefront. May we love the Lord. May we love the brethren. May we love the gospel. And make that the main thing why we're here. Let's read verse 6 again. It says, But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Now again, Paul's not speaking out against the Lord's apostles. He's not doing that. He's not speaking out against the Lord's anointed leaders in the church in Jerusalem. He's not doing that. These are the 12 who were with Christ. But remember this, and Paul's going to bring this forth. The 12 are just sinners like you and I. That's why I keep saying to y'all that I have a blessed position to preach the gospel, but I'm a saved sinner just like every one of you. There's no preacher mound. There's no apostle mound. At the foot of the cross, the ground is level, beloved. It is perfectly level. We're all sinners before God. When we stand at the great white judgment throne, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, the only reason we're being separated from those who are goats on the other side is Christ and him alone. That's the only difference. Because we're both a group of sinners. One group will be lost and the other group will be saved by the grace of God. Now, if we got what we deserved, everybody'd be lost, right? But by God's grace and mercy, he saved the people. So he's not speaking out against them in anger or anything. He's just saying that these men who are placed in authority in the Jerusalem church, they're to be loved and highly esteemed for their work. But Paul knew that they were no different than he was. He knew that they were just sinners saved by grace who were given the gift to preach. That's all. But they're still just sinners saved by the grace of God. That's all they are. Now, Christ had placed these men in those elevated positions of authority within the body, but they had nothing to boast of in themselves, did they? I don't have anything to boast in. Even though I'm called to preach, I have nothing to boast in but Christ. He's the only one I can boast in. As a matter of fact, I'm the last person who thought I would be a preacher. Dave and I were laughing because we're cut from the same mold. And Sister Barb last week said, yeah, I like how you guys work together. And I talked to Dave this week and I said, isn't that funny? Because we are the last people who we thought would be he leading songs and me preaching the gospel. We were the last folks that would ever think we'd be doing that. But here, look what the Lord's done, eh? Isn't he so good? And he's done the same for you, too. We're all sinners, aren't we? We're all the same. No matter what we came out of sin, didn't we? And we're still sinners, but we're saved by the grace of God. We're not what we used to be. Praise be to God. And we're not what we're going to be. Oh, my. Oh, my. So Christ had placed these men in these positions, and Paul was, He was referring also to what these men used to be too. They used to be, they were fishermen. Think of that too. They were just fishermen. If anyone's the most educated, Paul was. But Paul said, I count all that but dung. Everything I learned before in religion, it's nothing. It's a bunch of manure. My, oh my. So let's look at the first portion of this verse. It says, but of those who seem to be somewhat. Somewhat. So they were in an elevated position. People probably esteemed them because of that position. Again, we're no different than anyone else. We who preach, we're the same as everyone else, just saved by the grace of God. Look at this, though. The word seem there in the Greek is translated reputation in verse 2. Look at verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them of who were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now, the Greek word, again, but of those who seemed, that's the same word that's translated reputation in verse 2. That's the same verse. So they were men well known within the church. And note the middle part of this verse now. Note the middle part of this verse. It says this. Whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. Look at that. Look at that. You know what he's bringing forth here? He's making forth that there's level ground with all people. He's making forth that even the position that they're in and the former position they were in makes no difference to God. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter... I discovered something this week. I want to look at this with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it's based upon this portion here where it says, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. Right? So God doesn't accept us based upon our standing in life. He doesn't look at us based upon our standing in birth. Right? We're all guilty before God when we come out of the womb. Every one of us. Actually, in conception, we're conceived in sin. So, look at this. Let's consider these verses 16 and 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And Paul's going to bring forth here, saying that he values no man from a human point of view. Like he doesn't put one man above another from a human point of view. And God doesn't do that either. God doesn't do that. Now, we're valuable in his eyes, right? Because we're his elect. But that's only because he chose us in Christ. On our own, in our natural state, before he chose anyone in eternity, when he looked down through eternity, everyone was lost. Everyone was dead. There was no difference. See, it's only God who made to differ, right? You're mine. You're mine. Isn't that amazing? Oh, my. Look at this, though. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See the word know there? Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh? That word know there means to approve, acknowledge, or esteem. See, we would think, when we see that word, we think, oh, that's just to know someone. No. No, it's to actually esteem someone in the Greek. Acknowledge them, approve of them. So Paul's bringing forth that whether a man's a descendant of Abraham, circumcised, learned, rich, gifted, weak, he regards no man in the flesh. That's what Paul's saying. He's not going to measure. To Paul, everyone's on level ground. You're either saved or lost. You're either a saved sinner or you're a lost sinner. He doesn't say, well, this is the politician over here. I'm gonna hold him in the higher esteem. Nope, not at all. Well, this man over here is a garbage man. Nope, he doesn't hold them. They're all on the same level to him. See, that's how we should be, isn't it? That's how we as the people of God should be. In no way should we elevate a man because of their position in life. Not at all. But men do that. Men do that. They do that all the time. And you know what? Do you know Christ has taken away all the distinctions? Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. See, men make distinctions among other men, right? Whether you're learned or unlearned, whether you're rich or poor, whether one has a job or not even, right? Sometimes people make distinctions amongst people. But you know, we're all the same. How do we know that? Well, the Holy Spirit had Paul write this down in Colossians chapter 3. Christ has taken away all distinctions. Look at this in verses 10 and 11. He had put on a new man. Again, that's the new creature spoken of there in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in and all. Look at that. Look what he's done. Jew or Gentile. Nationality, right? Jews used to think the Gentiles were a bunch of dogs. I don't know what the Gentiles saw of the Jews. They probably thought, oh, they're just a haughty bunch of people. But in Christ, there's no distinction. Right? Circumcision or uncircumcision. Again, that's Jew or Gentile, right? Barbarian, Scythian. Barbarians were vicious, weren't they? The Scythians were even more vicious. The Scythians were the barbarians of the barbarians. They drink blood out of the skulls of the people that they slaughtered. They were. Well, it looks like the Lord saved some of them, doesn't it? Oh, look at that. The worst of the worst barbarians. The Lord saved a whole bunch of them. I love that. Oh, that's wonderful. Bond or free, whether one's a slave or not a slave. Christ is all and in all. That's what he is to his people. That's what he is to us. He's everything. You know, I was listening to Donnie Bell this week, and he was talking about some works-based preacher in Crossville. And you know all that reward system where people think they're going to get all these rewards? This preacher, Donnie said, had told the congregation, When I heard this, I about fell over. He said he told the congregation that when we're in heaven, y'all going to be shining my shoes. What? Because he's going to have so many rewards that they're. I didn't even tell Vicky. That's her face right now. I was shocked. Oh my goodness! I about fell over. What a self-righteous statement, eh? We're all one in Christ. We're all on the same level. Christ is our reward. We're all going to be mercy beggars going, oh, Lord, thank you for saving me. Oh, my. That's just self-righteousness, isn't it? Oh, and we see in our text, God's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. No, we're all the same. We're all sons and daughters of Adam. And we all come into this world in the same natural state, don't we? Dead in trespasses and sins. And the only one who makes us to differ is God. He's the only one who makes us to differ. Who saved us? Who saved us? Christ and him alone, right? He's the only one who saved us. Whose blood was shed to redeem our souls? The blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are we justified before God in? In Christ, in him alone. No other place. Who's all our redemption? Christ, in him alone. Who's all our sanctification? Christ and him alone. Who gives us eternal life? Christ and him alone. Do you see, it's all about him. Where Paul said, he's our all in all. He's everything. That's why God doesn't respect any persons. He is satisfied with Christ. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Right? That's the one who he's happy with. And I'll tell you what, if you're in Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, being born again, God is happy with you. Oh, that's wonderful. It's only God who's made us the difference. That's why it says here in our text, God accepted no man's person. He's not a respecter of people. We're all saved by the same mercy and the same grace of God in Christ alone. Now let's read the middle of verse 6. It says, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. Whether they were ignorant fishermen, which they were, right? Now, Vicky's dad's a fisherman. They're not necessarily ignorant people. They're not at all. Her dad can build anything. I saw his work with his hands. It's amazing. And he was a fisherman his whole life. So when I read about Peter and them, I think about John. I think about big, burly John. Right? Could do all kinds of stuff with his hands and everything. But in the world, he's not looked at as a genius or anything. He's just a common fella. So it doesn't matter what standing we have, does it? Whether you're a fisherman or whether you're Saul, who's been raised in all this education. Doesn't matter, does it? Paul even said that. I just count it all as manure. It's nothing. Everything I learned, just garbage. Oh my. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. It's only God who's made us the difference. Do you know who we're accepted in? We're accepted in the Beloved, aren't we? That's Christ. Every one of us. We're accepted in Him. And we're all like this in Him. There's no whoop, shoe shiner down here. There's not that. This doesn't happen. That just does not happen. We're all the same. We're all the same, Beloved. Oh, my education, worldly prestige, worldly wealth, anything else, poverty. God does not accept us based upon that. He accepts us in Christ, based upon what Christ has done. He doesn't respect men. See, that's why it's grace. That's why it's mercy when God saves us. Because we're all the same. We're all just a bunch of sinners. And he goes, you're mine. You've been mine from eternity. You'll be born again now. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit comes and regenerates us and we become new creatures in Christ. Oh my. It's wonderful, Beloved. Someone asked me one time, how do you know? How do you know you're saved? Well, how do I know I'm saved? Who's my hope? Who's my hope? Well, Christ is my everything. You take away Christ, I have nothing. I have nothing. I don't have no hope outside of Christ. Who was my hope before the Lord saved me? Myself, probably. My own doing, because I thought my good could outweigh my bad. Then I found out, I can't save myself. I can't make myself acceptable before God. So Christ is my everything. And how did that come about? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Who's the object of my faith? Christ. Who's my hope? Christ. Who's my salvation? Christ. Who's my wisdom? Christ. See, that's the same answer, right? Christ is what? My all in all. Is Christ your all in all? Do you feel the same way? Well, praise be to God, brothers and sisters. No matter what comes, we're just going to trust in Him, aren't we? We're just going to rest in Him amidst the storms of life. We're just going to trust Him. My, oh my. You know, everybody's important in the body of Christ. Everybody. Christ is the head and we're the body. Every single person in the body of Christ is important. We're all on the same level. Don't ever think that you're not important in the body of Christ, because everyone, every born-again, blood-washed believer is important in the body of Christ. Every single one. We've been placed there by God, right? We've been placed there by God alone. My. He's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our King. And He instructs us. We get our instructions from Him, don't we? Soldier says, we get our marching orders from the Lord. That's who we get our marching orders from, right? From Him. This is an outpost, but I look at this like an outpost. Here we are. Here we are. We're soldiers in Christ in an outpost in the middle of the wilderness. But you know what? We're waiting to get called home, aren't we? when our duty will be done. And then we'll just be worshiping Christ forever. Oh my, it'd be wonderful, won't it? In Christ, he once walked as a man as we walked. He was the same as us, except he was sinless. Absolutely perfect and sinless. Let's read verse 6 again. I got to wrap this up. I don't want to stop till we look at the end of this verse. It says at the latter part of this verse, "For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." Paul, in defending his apostolic authority, he was saying that those who were pillars in the church at Jerusalem, they didn't add anything to him. They didn't add anything to the gospel he preached. Because they're preaching the same gospel, right? They're preaching the same gospel. So what he's saying here is the apostles didn't add anything to what the Lord taught me, is what he's saying. When I meet with my fellow preachers, we're preaching the same gospel. So we have unity within that. It's wonderful. That's the grounds we meet on. No matter what other difference we have, we meet on the grounds of the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in the preaching of his word. That's what's most important. That's what's most important. So we're all on the same level, beloved. Every one of us. We're all on the same level in Christ. We are. Now we may be, some of us may be closer to going home than the others. We don't know, because none of us know the day of our death, right? None of us. But we do know that we're all being conformed to the image of Christ together. And that Christ is doing that for each one of us. Isn't that incredible? Turn with me, if you would, to one more place. I'm running out of time quick here. One more place, Philippians chapter 3. We're all on the same level. And you know what? We don't graduate from that either. We don't graduate from being on the same level in Christ. See, that's what the awful statement that man made. Because he thinks he's higher up than all the rest of the folks. We're all the same. We're all the same. That's, again, that's nothing but a false preacher there. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Look at this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. "For we are all the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Look at that. "For we are all the circumcision." That's the circumcision made without hands, beloved. That's to be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We're the true circumcision. Not the Judaizers. No, not the Jews. But God's people. We have in Christ, in the new birth, its fulfillment. It is the difference between having the Lamb of the Old Testament, which the Jews were relying on, right? Or having the Lamb of the New Testament. See? To be born again is the true circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit of God. True circumcision is having the heart pricked and laid open by the Holy Spirit of God. True circumcision is renouncing our own righteousness. I have no righteousness of my own. Christ is my righteousness. True circumcision is of the heart, not the flesh. It's not something man does. It's something God does. It's an operation of God. And it's to draw nigh to God with heart and not the body. It's to rejoice in the completeness of Christ. And let us do that. Let us do that this week as we leave here. Let us rejoice in the completeness of the finished work of Christ. When we leave here today, let us have that on our mind this week. Christ completed the work perfectly. It is finished. It's done to perfection. Hallelujah.